talked about the year going by so quickly. 2 months from today is the end of the season, September 1st. It's as early as it can be this year, right? The way the calendar is. But those 2 months are going to go by rapidly, and we want to make every day count, every moment count. And I'm sure the Lord is wanting to move. He works without intermission, and He will help us to open our hearts and keep them open to Him. Just like to say something this morning with you, to you, about the Word of God. I want to read a little psalm together. I trust that all of you love God's Word, this precious Bible that He has given to us, His holy book. He reveals Himself to us. He sounds His call. In this Word, it's such a precious thing to have the Bible. It wasn't always so that you or I or ordinary people like us, I mean to say, had the Bible, access to the Bible. It wasn't always so. It was for the scholarly people, the religious leaders. They were the ones that felt they could interpret the Bible, and it was kept out of the hands of the common man. Another reason that it wasn't available was that it wasn't translated into the languages of the people. But here we have it in our language. Taking the Old Testament from Hebrew and the New Testament from Greek, we have it in English. I saw a Chinese Bible the other day too, and then I saw a German Bible all up here at camp. So do you have a Russian Bible with you? I didn't see it yet, and it wouldn't mean too much to me except that I'd be glad that you had it, a Russian Bible. But here we have the Bible in our language so that God's Word is accessible to us. Oh, how we ought to appreciate that and take advantage of it. I mentioned the other day when we were talking about seeking the Lord that this year the Lord has given us, we feel He has given us a text in our church for the year, and it has to do with seeking God and in His Word. As we were talking about seeking the Lord, I said, well, where do we find Him? And over here to my right, someone said, We can find Him in the pages of the Bible. We can find Him in His Word. I don't remember who that was, but it was over here. Someone answered the question that way. Our text is the second verse of Psalm 119. We're not going to read that psalm together this morning. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. The other night someone was speaking to me about William Wilberforce, by the way, and we were just talking about him in connection with John Newton, by the way. It was after meeting. And I mentioned that William Wilberforce had Psalm 119 memorized. He was a member of Parliament and a very busy man, but he had walking to do. I don't know if he jogged, but as he walked to cast his votes in Parliament or wherever, from here to there, he would recite Psalm 119. And the person said, yes, I read that about him. And I was just teasing. I said, do you know Psalm 119? And she said, yes, I do. I memorized Psalm 119. How about that? I think she's the only person I know who memorized Psalm. I know someone who did, but I mean currently. There was a girl in our Sunday school years and years ago. She comes here too. Is she coming this year? Margaret Kyneth. And she memorized Psalm 119. Don't ask her. She's an old lady now. Don't ask her to say it for you. But I remember that was one of her claims to fame, anyway, that's the one that memorized Psalm 119. But Sister Ming knows it. I think she could say it if you asked her. But she probably couldn't take the time just now to get through it. But blessed are those that keep His testimonies. This is a psalm that has to do with the preciousness of God's holy word. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Let's turn over to the first Psalm, Psalm 1. Another word about God's word. Actually, it's about the two ways. The way of the godly, the way of the ungodly. But in there it speaks about taking delight in God's word. Now, could I just ask you, please respond to me, how many King James versions do we have here? Please raise your hand. How many? Put them down. Okay, NIVs. Who uses the NIV? Anybody use the ESV? I recommend it highly. Oh, good. We have somebody who does. Wonderful. Oh, you. Anyway, this psalm is known by, I suppose, many of us in the King James Version. And so I'd like to read it or recite it in that. Others follow along. I suppose most of you have heard this and learned it somewhere along the way. But let's read or recite Psalm 1 together. If you have another translation and just can't do it in the King James, just read softly. You'll find out it's very close. Okay, together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Our focus will be on verse 2. The godly man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand in the way of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of the scornful, that one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. God says such a person is blessed. What does blessed mean? The Bible has a lot of those. We call them beatitudes. Jesus started his Sermon on the Mount with, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and reviled. Blessed are, what does that mean? We have Old Testament blessings. We're going to look at a few of them. We already had two today. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And now blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. What does blessed mean? Okay, someone.
Be in peace.
To be in peace. I think that's very nice. I don't think I ever heard that. I wasn't expecting that one. Thank you. That's true. Happy. Yes.
Well off.
Well off. I think those are good synonyms, to be in peace and happiness and prosperity, being well off. Yes. Now I have my definition. Yes, you have one too.
Having the favor of the Lord.
Favor of the Lord. Having the favor of the Lord. Okay, that's just a classier way of saying what I was just starting to say. I can say I always hear happy. I like that. Unfortunately, we use that word. It's lost something because happiness. And so I add this to it, okay? But this kind of, you know, maybe muddies the water a little bit, this is what the way I think of it. Happy as God would define happiness. Okay, that's what I tell at home when I speak about blessed, or happy as God would count happiness, as He would see what happiness is, or what being well off is in His eyes, and of course at peace with Him, and of course having His favor, being under His smile. Why, He's the one who's pronouncing this blessedness. So of course, these are the ones that are God blessed, that are favored by Him. This is true happiness according to the divine definition. Okay? So in this psalm, what is it? It is walking in God's way, delighting in His word. And when you delight in His word, you pay attention to it, you think about it, you meditate in it day and night. And then the blessings that accompany that, the fruitfulness, that's what it goes on to say, like a tree planted by the rivers, not dry and dying, but flourishing, bringing forth fruit in his season, his leaf not withering. Whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but the Lord knows the righteous. They love his word. They love his word. I hope that we all love his word. I've heard it said, I'm paraphrasing, but this is the thought expressed, that we don't love God, regardless of what we say about, oh, I love you, Lord, we don't love God any more than we love His Word. We don't love Him any more than we love His Word. Do you really love His Word? Oh, how I love thy law, is one of the verses in Psalm 119. Sister Ming will tell you which one. It's in the 90s, I think, but anyway. It is my meditation all the day. Do you think about God's word during the day? Does He ever just stop you? When He drops a thought into your mind, you recognize that's the Lord reminding me. He's speaking to me. Then do you take that, think about it, feed on it? His delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law doth he meditate day and night. There's the man who's truly blessed. The woman who's truly blessed walks in God's way and hears God's call and loves God's word and takes time over God's word, has discovered that this isn't just another book. It is God's book. It is God's revelation. It is that word that all of us so sorely need. We need God's word. We need to hear Him speak. Jesus said, we prove our love to Him when we hear His word and we do it. And in that we find His fellowship in such a glorious fullness. Sister Mary or Sister Ming handed me a card of their theme verses. I will. Come with me over to John 14. And here are the words of Jesus that coincide, of course, with the psalm that we just read. Here's a New Testament expression of the same truth. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14, verse 15, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus was talking about his Spirit, the very same Spirit we sang about at the beginning of the meeting. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart, wean it from earth, through all its pulses move, stoop to my weakness. Mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Here's one of the verses that maybe is why we have newer translations. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. That means, but you will, or you are going to see me when they can no longer see me. But if you don't read Old English, you don't come along with that. Some of the old timers say, what are you talking about? Of course everybody understands that. No, they don't. And so you go across the page and you see, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. That's what that means. Now, how is it that they would be able to see him after he's gone? Why, with that inner eye that we talked about the other day. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's such a wonderful verse. Who could ever understand the relationship of the Father and the Son? Who could ever understand the union and the communion that we are called, that we are privileged to enjoy as believers in Jesus? Communion with the Father and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Who could ever understand that? The way we know it is by experience. And the way we experience is that the Holy Spirit comes to us. So Jesus said, when I send the Spirit, you will know. You will know something about the love, the union, the connection, shall we say, that I have with my Father. And you'll know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now that is something to meditate upon. You could meditate on that all day today, and all camp season, and all year, and it would just get better all the time. It would just get more rich, and because the knowing of this is in our experience. But now, about his word. Jesus said, he that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Here's some wonderful fruit. Just like it says in Psalm 1, I will come to you. We're going to make our abode with you. I'm going to be right with you and within you. If you hear my words and keep my words and love my words and love me, there's a wonderful fellowship you will come into. Jesus held that out to his disciples, and he holds that out to us. Isn't that great? We have the book. We open it up. We read these promises. They belong to us. All who have opened their hearts to Jesus, all who have repented of their sins and believed the gospel and received life eternal, these words are ours. This life is in the Son of God, and the words that He speaks are spirit and life. Praise the Lord. Oh, God's Word. My father told me a story when he was a little boy, a young fella. He and his brother were, you saw a book down in the bookstore called Radiant Glory. It's a biography of a lady you've heard mentioned, perhaps, named Mrs. Robinson. And he and his older brother were invited to go and visit her. And they were afraid because they had heard things about her, you know, and they didn't know what a good experience it was going to be to visit her. I guess she invited them, wanted to meet them, and they wondered what she was going to say to them. When they got there, someone suggested that they sing a song for her. Anybody ever do that to you? Like, oh, take out your violin and play for our company. Of course. And you couldn't say no. This generation says no, but we stumbled through so many little pieces for our company that had to smile and say it was nice, you know. Anyway, of course, we means my twin sister. She was playing the piano, and she did not stumble. At any rate, where was I with that? Someone suggested you sing for her. That's right. And they sang for her. And she was so kind and sweet. And they weren't nervous at all. And so, then what would she say to them? And you know what she said to them? She took the Bible, held it open like this against her, and said, "Boys, this is God's word. Get it into your hearts. Love it. Cherish it. Get to know it. Live by it." Just such simple things, but never forgotten. And my father said that as they were walking home. Maybe you've heard him tell this. This was, he's just a kid. He said, "Oh God, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to live for you, Jesus. I want you to have my life." Anyway, God's word is such a treasure, such a treasure. And I hope that all of you, I want all of you to learn to love it. I can't make you love it. But if you give yourself a chance and read a portion, faithfully read. Don't try to read too much, but read something and ask God to read it to you. Ask Him, "Holy Spirit, read this to me. This is your message. God, this is your call. Read this to me. Shine into my heart. Give me understanding as I meditate in your word day and night. And then work out this wonderful result in my heart. I know you will." Jesus will come, Father and the Son, making your heart home. Your heart will be home to God. Deuteronomy 17. This is about the king. Moses says, I'm just going to read this to you. A few verses, Deuteronomy 17:14. "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possession of it, and settled in it, and you say, 'Let us set a king over us like all the nations around us,' be sure to appoint over you the king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your own brothers. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. The king Moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself, or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back that way again. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold. Now, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. There are other such examples in God's word. We'll just take that one for this morning. Here's the instructions to the king. Okay? It's just an example of how important is God's law in our lives. The king who takes the throne, he has certain instructions. We know kings did not follow these instructions, and they did not have the blessing that's pronounced here either. God dealt with them because of their disobedience. But some of them, I'm sure, did. And Moses said, when the king takes the throne, he's to take the law of God and copy it. That's a lot. That's more than memorizing Psalm 119. I say, you copy longhand the law of God for yourself, so you have your own copy. Copy it out. I want my leader, he's probably a pretty busy guy, to copy it all out and have it for himself and read it every day and think about it, and it's going to keep his heart from thinking he's better. You know, kings can feel pretty exalted, they're leaders, from thinking he's better than his brothers. It's going to keep his heart humble before me. It's going to give him good success. But he needed the word of God. He couldn't live without it. He couldn't reign right. He couldn't lead God's people right without the word of God. And none of us can live right without God's word. And none of us should deny ourselves the blessing of feeding upon the Lord's word, of partaking of him day by day. Blessed is that one. And we'll say more about this. But let's hide God's word in our hearts. Let's apply ourselves to it. Let's want Jesus. Let's listen for his voice with a heart to respond to his call and to obey him gladly. Amen. Let's sing 159 in our hymn books. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a guide to my path alway, to guide and to save me from sin, and show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Forever, O Lord, is thy word established and fixed on high. Thy faithfulness unto all men abideth forever nigh. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. At morning, at noon, and at night,
protection, O Lord, and shall be through all my days. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Let's stand on this last verse about Jesus. You know, we learn to know him and we receive him as we get into his word. Oh, to love you, Lord, and to love your word, to cherish it. The spiritual man must be nourished by spiritual food. Otherwise it withers, fails to bring forth the fruit, fails to achieve the result that God wants for us. Oh Lord, help us to feed on you even this day. Help us to love your word and meditate in your law this day and receive you, hallelujah, so that we might have your life and your fruit abounding in us. Let's sing this last verse. Through him whom thy word hath foretold, the Savior and morning star, salvation and peace have been brought to those who have strayed afar. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. Lord, help us to do it and help us to rejoice in your word, in your commandments, in your call, in your presence this day. Hallelujah. Let the heart of them that seek the Lord rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. God bless you all and give you a great day today. Amen.